grace of Jesus Christ, the mercy of the Holy One, and the Spirit of the living God be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, with mercy you look upon our weaknesses. Stretch out your wondrous hand to protect us from danger and restore us to health, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from 2 Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give life or death, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Word of God. Word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together Let us pray Psalm 30 responsively. "I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me.
O Lord, my God,
brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave.
Sing praise.
God's wrath is short. God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends but the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Wow.
You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear.
I cried to you, O Lord,
What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness? Dancing, you have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that in a race, the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A leper came to Jesus, begging him. And kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. And he said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly. But he stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Today we're going to approach the gospel in three ways. We're going to first talk about the leper and his condition. And we're going to then hear about what Jesus does. And then we're going to see what the consequences were of what happened, what happens at the end, and possibly how this is a foreshadowing of things to come for Jesus. Have you ever tried to read all the laws that are prescribed in the Old Testament? I find it interesting because it reveals this context and this culture that is almost completely foreign to us. But I understand for some, reading Old Testament laws is not your thing. In fact, I'm told that if someone is having a particularly sleepless night, that all you need to do is open the book of Leviticus, read for a little while, and it will give you the peace of God. In Leviticus, there are a lot of words dedicated to lepers and how to deal with them. I'm going to read to you just a couple of verses. Hopefully, you don't fall asleep. Leviticus reads, "When a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a leprous disease on the skin of his body, he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons, the priest. The person who has the leprous disease shall wear torn clothes and let their hair of his head be disheveled. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp." This is what the man who approached Jesus was living with. Every time somebody came near him, he would have to yell, "Unclean, unclean." to let the person know that they needed to stay back. Not only was this man sick, he was alone. He had to live outside of the community. Being isolated while being sick is not necessarily conducive to getting well. And if he was living outside of the community, where was he getting his food? This conditions, it creates a dependence on the kindness of others who would come and they would drop off food to a certain location and then they would come and get it. This could only bring loneliness and despair for the leper. You could see others at a distance, but you couldn't be near them. And you had to be dependent on others for survival. So we hear in the gospel reading today, a leper came to Jesus, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." The man begged, and he kneeled before Jesus. He came near Jesus. He was in his presence. He had nowhere to go. Maybe he had heard about what Jesus was doing for others. But he was completely at his mercy. "If you choose, you can make me clean." I think this statement reveals something about our own spiritualities. I believe that the whole spiritual life can be taken from how this leper acted, begging and kneeling before Jesus to make us clean. It's reported that the last thing Martin Luther wrote before his death was this: "We are beggars. This is true." The leper was definitely kneeling and begging before Jesus to heal him. I was reading this last week in the Lutheran magazine, an article about sin. Ted Peters of PLTS in Berkeley wrote that sin is the need to justify oneself before God. This is completely the opposite of what the leper does. He doesn't justify his condition. He doesn't demand that Jesus heal him. He was completely dependent. He begged for his grace. When someone begs, they don't talk to you how much they deserve, what they're getting. They don't try to justify themselves. They recognize they don't actually deserve it. They have done nothing to earn what they're about to receive. Completely dependent on the grace of that person. We are beggars. This is true. The leper says to Jesus, "If you choose, you can make me clean." In the scripture we read today, we hear that Jesus took pity on the man. But this response is not the only recorded one. I'm going to go into a slight little tangent. Depending on what part of the world you were in, determine what the variant that we hear in the scripture would be. See, you have these families of text. One of the families was in Alexandria. And then another family of texts was in Antioch. And so there's different versions of the story, and they've eventually all come together. So by the time that we receive these texts, these scriptures, we have to kind of weigh which one was more of the probable story. So one text family says that Jesus took pity on them, which is what we heard today. But another one says that he got angry. Got angry. But I think both of these are very plausible when it comes to how Jesus reacted. Because the end result is actually the same. Jesus does two things. First, he touches the man. Then he says, "I do choose. Be healed." After being isolated from his family and community, no one ever touching him, he had to drive people away. He was healed. When Jesus was confronted with such sickness and its effects, we can see how these two responses would be very appropriate. He has pity, or he gets angry. But Jesus doesn't get angry because he's mad at the leper. Jesus got angry because he was mad at the situation. He was angry because there was leprosy. Jesus came to start repairing this broken humanity. And when he encounters this brokenness, he heals the man with leprosy. So whether Jesus had pity or he became angry, the result's the same. The man was healed. So here we have the man with leprosy who received a miracle, and Jesus who gave the miracle. We can't do anything to heal ourselves of our sin, but we solely have to rely on God's grace. It's completely out of our hands. We are the ones cast out of the community, but God never has left us alone. He comes and dusts us off and brings us back into relationship. So what happens after this miracle story, I find to be very, very interesting. Jesus tells the man to keep quiet. Do the purification as he would normally have to do. Show himself to a priest, but don't say anything to anyone. Theologians have labeled this interaction that we see all over the Gospel of Mark as the messianic secret. Jesus performs a miracle and then asks the person who is healed not to say anything, to keep quiet. I know that I couldn't do that. I couldn't keep quiet about being healed, even if the man who healed me told me not to. But the reason Jesus does this is because he wants everybody to interpret all these miracles through what would happen at the end of his life, the cross. You can't understand who Jesus is. You can't understand his suffering. You can't understand his miracles until you look at the suffering of the cross. Jesus is more than a miracle worker. He did more than perform these services to individuals. They were signs of God's coming reign. See, that was a temporary fix for the leper. He eventually died again. But these miracles were signs into a reality that Jesus would bring, and that was more fully present in the cross. So what happens? The leper, he can't keep quiet. He talks. And not only that, but he tells everyone what Jesus had done for him. And Jesus can't go into the city anymore. It's an interesting role reversal. The leper, who was formerly cast out of the community, who was sick, was now inside the community telling people about Jesus. He was reincorporated, and by that, Jesus was now outside of the community. And he couldn't go into the town, and people started coming to him. I wonder if that role reversal isn't a foreshadowing of things to come. I wonder if it's a foreshadowing of the cross. Jesus, who came to bring us life, is killed. Jesus, who's God incarnate, took the deaths that we all deserved. There are many images used in Scripture to describe what Jesus did on the cross. And the one that I just described is called the substitutionary atonement. It goes like this. We are sinners, we are sick, and we are deserving of death. We are beggars. But we didn't stay that way. Jesus comes, and he takes our place. Jesus came, and he died in our place. It's the great role reversal. 2 Corinthians says this, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus, who never sinned, became sin so that we might be right with God. Jesus took our place. And that's the great role reversal, because God loved us. So we have in the gospel lesson a model of spirituality that points us to the great role reversal of the cross. We're beggars. We can't do anything to earn this favor with God. No amount of self-justification will ever compare to the pure grace of Jesus. And this grace goes so far as to take our pain and our death. But Jesus was able to endure it. And he was able to die. Because in the end, he did not stay that way. The kind of grace that Jesus has must rise again. It must redeem creation. The grace that Jesus has, not even the gates of hell can overcome. Jesus rose again for us. And so must we. Amen.